You know, Bob, this weekend, like a lot of people, I was glued to the TV watching news. I was often holding my six-month-old daughter. I was watching her this weekend and watching the news and thinking about everything. And I knew we had a show coming up, and I thought it just seemed kind of frivolous almost to have a music show in the middle of all of this, everything that's happened, not only in Paris, but in Beirut this past week.
Playing the new Missy Elliott would not...
Yeah, I mean, I was excited to play that, and it just didn't feel right. But, you know, we know that music can be a powerful force for healing. It gives us the space to think about things, to meditate on our lives, to reflect, to make sense of things. Music often leads us to feelings and ideas that had been elusive before we heard the music. So I was thinking on this week's show, we should just play some music that gives us time to think, gives other people the space to think and to reflect and to meditate on life.
I got a piece of music that I played this week over the weekend, and I kept playing it and playing it, and it really hit the right tone for me. You know, I used to direct All Things Considered, and during the September 11th attacks, had to pick music for a new show, and it was in moments it felt completely like the most irrelevant thing that you could do in life.
Right.
But as you say, it's such a healing thing that when we did play music between news stories back then, it really meant a lot. It meant a mental break. It meant a time to think, as you said. Yeah. This happened to me this weekend with this music by a group that's led by Olof Dreyer, the one half of the group The Knife from Sweden. The group is called Hia Wal Alam, and I'm just going to play this song, Jana, and I think you'll see why I played it over and over again, because I'm hopefully it'll strike the right chord for you as it did for me, and the tone of how I was feeling, the pensive tone I was feeling.
That song just stretched all over the globe. I was not expecting that Spanish guitar, the classical guitar, nylon string guitar to come in, or the accordion. I guess it was an accordion there.
It wasn't just the pensive mood that made me feel so connected to this tune this week. This is a group called Hayawal Alam. They're Tunisian, Palestinian. Olive Dreyer, we know from The Knife, is Swedish. But it just showed how the world can get together and do so much together, and how other cultures enhance each other. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing, given what happened this week. And I went also to see this Philip Glass opera that was about civil rights and the Civil War. And it also just made you think about how people's differences can be conflicting, but how they also help and make a greater country when there's togetherness. So it was a lot of sadness and a lot of thought. We'll put more information on Hayawal Alam online, and the song is Jana.
I can honestly say I have never, in all my years of using Twitter, I have never jumped on a hashtag train. You know, when some tag is trending, and I've just never done that. But over the weekend, NPR Music's Ann Powers started a hashtag called Live Music Heals. And it ended up taking off, lots of people sharing stories, and it was really fascinating and inspiring to see all the different stories that people shared. And I thought we should just give Ann a call and have her tell us a little bit about why she started this.
Hello.
Hey, Ann.
Hey, Robin. How are you?
Doing well. We were just talking about the Live Music Heals hashtag. Why don't you tell us why you started that this weekend?
Well, when the terrible news from Paris started coming over the internet on Friday night, I mean, like so many people, I felt very paralyzed. And that night, I really didn't know what to say at all. But I woke up the next morning thinking, one of the most profound things in my life is going to see live music. And of course, the tragedy is so multi-layered, and people were mourning for a city, and they were mourning for individual victims. They were mourning for so many things. But for me, it was very scary, and it is very scary that this space I consider sacred, the place where I have been transformed so many times, the place where musicians and fans and dancers and singers, and we're all in a big bunch together loving live music, that would be threatened was terrifying. So I started to think about all the times in my life that live music had changed me, had healed me, had lifted me up. And instead of, writing some kind of think piece about it, I just thought, I'm going to share these memories on Twitter. And I came up with that hashtag. The first show I mentioned was a Prince show, of course. You guys know I'm totally into Prince. But very quickly, I couldn't stop. Everything from seeing the Ramones and Joan Jett when I was in high school to seeing Sufjan Stevens last week here in Nashville.
Was there one show that you thought really stood out that you'd want to play some music from?
Well, one thing I was really thinking about was how often African music has been the conduit for delight, for understanding, just for sheer happiness in my life. And I started thinking about a time in 1997 at Symphony Space in New York when I saw the great singer from Mali, Oumou Sangaré. And, she is just one of the voices I love the most in the world. She's an incredibly beautiful woman. Just to be in the room with her was a privilege. But what made this show so magical was the way they were welcoming people onto the stage. And this has happened at African music concerts so many times in my life. Everyone's dancing together. People are throwing dollars in the air. Oumou Sangaré at this show in 97 was lifting little children, little girls, up on stage to dance with her. And, a lot of her music, especially at that time, was kind of protest music about the limitations of women's roles in Africa. And yet here she is celebrating just all of us coming together, and there were just no boundaries. And every time I hear her music, I think about that night and how I felt so connected to everyone in that room.
We should hear a song. What was the song? She was touring for the Warathon record at the time. What's a cut from that you'd like to play?
Yeah, one of the great cuts that I absolutely love is called Baba. So let's hear that one.
Yeah, I will say there's something about music from Africa, the rhythms and the maybe it's
Mali in particular.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just so life affirming and so celebratory.
It truly is, and I've seen so many amazing artists, as I'm sure you guys have, from all over the world. I mean, I remember seeing Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, his incredible vocal gift. You know, the master musicians of Djibouti, Fela Kuti, and this is one way that we understand each other across cultures. I'm not saying it solves all problems. I don't mean to be facetious, but I'm just saying, put people in a room together and get them moving, get them listening, get them singing, and it really can change us, I think.
Agreed. Thank you so much, Anne, for sharing getting that started. It was nice to see so many people weigh in and share their own stories.
Hashtag again is?
Hashtag live music heals. It's still going. It's actually still going. Not quite as strong as over the weekend, but it's an idea that doesn't die, right? So live music heals.
Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Anne.
Be well.
Thanks, you guys.
Right, cheers.
Take care. Anne mentioned seeing Sufjan Stevens in Nashville. His tour for the Carrie and Lowell record is continuing. When I saw this hashtag that Anne had started, I immediately thought of Sufjan Stevens and the Sufjan Stevens show I saw at DAR Constitutional.
You wept an awful lot.
I cried through the whole thing, and not just because so much of it was heartbreaking, and it was heartbreaking, but because it was just so beautiful and life-affirming. You know, this is a guy, Sufjan Stevens. He was abandoned by his mom when he was a young child, and he's got a lot of reasons in his life to be either bitter or to be unhappy. And yet, through it all, he has just maintained nothing but love for her and for everybody, it seems. You know, at the end of that show, when he...
Understanding.
And understanding, yes, love and understanding. At the end of that show, he said to the audience, "I love you." He said that, and thanking everyone for coming out, he said, "I love you." And it's so easy for a musician to say something like that, just a, you know, a little line they throw out at the end, sort of perfunctory. But there's something in the way he said it that I think everyone in that room felt like he really meant it. And they felt nothing but love in that room. And the song that he closed out the main set with was "Blue Bucket of Gold." I want to play that because that I just felt like he took everybody by the hand and led us to Nirvana.
Me in your life.
There's a moment about three quarters of the way into that song where he pauses, and then the music comes back in, and it just builds and builds and builds. And you remember that?
I do remember that moment at the show.
Yeah. And if you see it live, and I recommend it highly if you have a chance to see this tour, all these little white flickering lights spinning around the room and like little souls floating above mm-hmm. us. It just was so
my
so
firefly.
Beautiful. Yeah, my firefly. Anyway, Sufjan Stevens, A Blue Bucket of Gold from his Carrion Lowell record.
This made me think of something that I hadn't thought of until we walked into this room, which was I talked at the beginning of the show how directing All Things Considered during September 11th was very powerful, and how it really made me realize something I kind of knew but hadn't thought about in a while, which is the power of music and the power of music to help with emotion. Yeah. And one of the pieces of music I played a lot during that time, September 11th, was Sigur Rós from their Untitled record.
Yeah.
And on September 11th, 2005, we broadcast Sigur Rós from a place nearby called the Strathmore Music Hall. Mm-hmm. And they played this cut. It's called Untitled 4, and it made me weep. And it was my time at a show where I felt that sense of healing. So I'd like to play that.
I remember that show very vividly. I wouldn't have been able to tell you it was 10 years ago, though. Wow. And the words that he's singing, the sounds he's making, you don't even really understand what exactly he's saying.
That's right. And in fact, that's sort of the power of, for me it was anyway, the power of the song, which is you felt the emotion. It wasn't connected to the loss of a friend. It wasn't connected to any memory. My own mind could fill in that blank.
Yeah.
And that's what made that so powerful. That's Sigur Rós from a record that came out in 2002. Wow. The record was not titled, and the song was untitled 4.
This is the album that has a little parenthesis as the song.
We're talking about music for healing, and given the events of this past weekend in Paris.
I want to play something new from a band called Goldman, an artist known as Goldman. This is a pianist. His name's Keith Kenneth. We actually discovered him and featured him on our old series, Open Mic.
Is that right?
Yeah, back in 2006 or 7 it was. Since then, Goldman has had, his music has been in ads, it's been on films, sometimes heard between news stories on All Things Considered. And Goldman spends much of his time producing the work of other artists, but he says that when he has time for himself, he always turns back to the piano for moments of solace. He said it's the one place where he can have time to think and reflect on the events of his life. And he's got a new record out now that he pieced together over about 3 years. And the title track, I think, is the perfect score or soundtrack for private meditation. The song is called Sometimes. You know the Hermann Hesse novel, Narcissist and Goldmund? It's a book that well-known and often studied. The character Goldmund in that novel, Goldmund abandons his life in a monastery and goes out to find meaning in his life, and he goes on a personal journey to try to find a place for himself in the world. And the pianist we just heard, Keith Kenneth, who goes by the name Goldmund, that's where he got his name from, the Goldmund character. Who, by the way, in the Goldmund character in the novel finds that joy in life lies somewhere between the two worlds, the physical and the spiritual world. And Goldmund, the artist here, his new record is Sometimes, and that song was called Sometimes. Just gorgeous. You know, like, I heard it over this weekend, and like you, it just was the right song at the right time.
There's been a piece of music I've been meaning to get on the show that piece reminded me of. It's a piece by Nils Fromm.
Another pianist,
and another artist that makes every note count, which Goldmund just did.
Not only every note count, but everything it takes to play that note count, because you hear all the intricate workings of the piano and the strings and the mechanisms it takes to strike the notes.
He gave away, Nils Fromm did, an album this year called Solo, and it kind of went, unfortunately, unnoticed. In fact, I've been wanting to play it on the show and haven't found a place. I have now. It is stunning. It was recorded on, probably, I should say, the tallest piano in the world.
What?
Yes. This fellow by the name of David Clavins made a piano.
How tall is this piano?
First of all, it's 1.8 tons. It is 3.7 meters.
That's over 12 feet.
That's right. And
12-foot high piano.
Right. And the string, the largest string, is 10 feet.
Wow.
And Nils Fromm basically sat in front of this piano and improvised these pieces. And I'm going to play a song from Solo by Nils Fromm. It's called Ode.
You can hear what I was talking about, the mechanism, the ringing of the strings. You can really feel every hammer hit those strings. I thought when you said the world's tallest piano, I thought, so what, it's like a baby grand or something with really long legs holding it up? But it's actually, I was just reading about it. The guy who made it, David Clavins, in 1987, it's actually an upright piano that stretches two stories high. What an incredible sound.
And so the way the sound is projected is completely different. And I love the fact that, well, look, I'd love to be able to sit down in front of a piano and do what Nils Fromm just did. Like, just be completely inspired by the moment and the instrument. Yeah. And he sure did that. The record is called Solo. Came out this year from Nils Fromm. The song we played is called Ode. And it's been a beautiful piece of music for me just all year long. And I always try to find two or three nice, quiet records.
Yeah.
For special moments, and this Nils Fromm this week,
I know they're the records that I find I put on after I go to a show. Like, I go see some really loud show, and when I'm riding home in my car or when I get home, I need something to kind of bring me back down to earth. I'll listen to something like that. Let's do another new song. This one from the School of Seven Bells. Last month, this band, School of Seven Bells, they announced that they would be putting out their final record. And originally, this group was a trio from New York, Alejandra Deheza and her sister Claudia and Benjamin Curtis. Back in 2008, they released their debut record, Alpinisms, with the song I'm Under No Disguise. Love this band. That was such a great record and a big record for us that year. Well, in 2013, 2 years ago, Benjamin Curtis, his life was cut short when he died of cancer. And this new and final album from the School of Seven Bells has the last music that Benjamin and Alejandra recorded together. And it includes a song I want to play called Open Your Eyes. It's a song that is all about how our struggles make us stronger, about the need to pick yourself up and carry on after great loss, and understanding, as she sings over and over again in this song you'll hear, understanding that you will find love again in your life. School of Seven Bells, Open Your Eyes. Moving on. We'll be right back. You will find love again, as she sings over and over again, Alejandra Deheza and Benjamin Curtis. You know, they dated for much of the time the band was together, and even though they broke up, they remained very close and continued to write and record together. And Alejandra calls this final School of Seven Bells record a love letter to him and to the time they spent together. The record's called SVIIB, or School in the Roman numeral for Seven. S, Roman numeral for 7B. It's not out until February.
Ann Powers earlier talked about what she feels is the safe, inspired place that we think of as the concert hall, the venue that our favorite venue we might go to.
It's a space where we feel the freest and sometimes the most alive, right?
And the ability to express ourselves as audience, some as performers.
Yeah.
And that's where so much of the tragedy unfolded on Friday, and we our hearts go out to all of the fans that came to see a band that they loved, Eagles of Death Metal, and our hearts go out to Eagles of Death Metal, who everyone
who suffered loss during that event. They were playing at the Bataclan Theater in Paris. The band's merchandise manager, Nick Alexander, lost his life. He was one of the more than 80 people who died inside that club. And we thought we'd just go out on a song from the Eagles of Death Metal. This is a band we've covered a lot. We did a first listen on their most recent record, Zipper Down, a band with a real sense of humor, a real sense of play. But I thought we'd play a cut from the new record. The song is called I Love You All the Time.
Thanks, Robin. And if anybody out there wants to share a story that's close to their heart, going to a show, Live Music Heals was the thread that Ann had started. But just any music that has meant much to you, to help you through loss or a rough period in life.
Share your story on the blog.
Yeah, share your story.
NPR.org/allsongs.
Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.
I love you all the time.